authorities have clawed back more than half of the ransom paid to the hackers of Colonial Pipeline in Bitcoin. Plus, it's not just the big guys, how scammers are taking advantage of the Bitcoin boom to rip off smaller investors.
It's common for there to be these anonymous teams soliciting funds for different projects in cryptocurrencies, and often that's just normal, and it's the way it's done. But it also provides good cover for fraudsters.
And whether you've been trading for 5 years or 5 months, our investing challenge will help you brush up. It's Monday, June 7th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. officials say they've recovered 64 Bitcoin, valued now at roughly $2.3 million, of a ransom paid to the hackers who hit Colonial Pipeline last month. The FBI said they seized the cryptocurrency from a virtual wallet that the Russia-based cybercrime group DarkSide had used to collect the payment. In a press conference this afternoon, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco said the seizure was the first operation of the department's recently launched Ransomware and Digital Extortion Task Force.
Today, we turned the tables on DarkSide by going after the entire ecosystem that fuels ransomware and digital extortion attacks, including criminal proceeds in the form of digital currency. We will continue to use all of our tools and all of our resources to increase the cost and the consequences of ransomware attacks and other cyber-enabled attacks.
The Colonial Pipeline attack forced the shutdown of the main conduit for gasoline and diesel fuel for the East Coast. The Food and Drug Administration has approved a new Alzheimer's drug for the first time in nearly two decades. The decision follows years of research and billions of dollars in investment into finding treatments for the degenerative disease. The drug, which will be sold as Aduhelm, could be a blockbuster for maker Biogen. But doctors who did not recommend its approval say evidence supporting the drug's efficacy is limited. The Securities and Exchange Commission is proposing new restrictions on executive stock trading plans known as 10b5-1 plans that allow business executives to schedule future trades of their company shares. The plans often generate controversy because insiders aren't required to publicly disclose the plans when they set them up. And some investors say plans can be manipulated because executives can modify or cancel them. Speaking at the Wall Street Journal's CFO Network event today, SEC Chair Gary Gensler said he's seeking to revise rules to reduce the risk of improper insider trading.
I've asked staff to use all the tools in our toolbox to ensure we are identifying and punishing abuses of these plans. These issues, I think, speak to the real confidence investors have in markets, that everybody, from a working family to big institutions to insiders, has a level playing field and the disclosure is in the market. And anytime we can increase investor confidence in the market, that's a good thing. It helps both investors, but it also helps businesses seeking to raise capital and grow and to innovate.
Oil is up more than 40% this year, and gas prices have been surging. Now, options traders are betting on the return of $100 a barrel oil by the end of next year, and some even by the end of this year. They're buying up call options tied to Brent and West Texas Intermediate crude oil, the global and U.S. benchmarks, respectively. The last time oil hit $100 a barrel was in 2014. And Amazon founder Jeff Bezos plans to travel to space next month as part of a team on his space company Blue Origin's first human flight. The company's New Shepard spacecraft is scheduled to launch from West Texas on July 20th. Bezos has invested as much as roughly $1 billion a year into Blue Origin through sales of Amazon stock. He's stepping down as Amazon's CEO next month. Coming up, retail investors have been trying to cash in on the cryptocurrency boom. But so are scammers.
NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Growth in crypto markets has been explosive this year. The price of Bitcoin jumped 450% between October and March to nearly $59,000. But as more retail traders try to get in on the boom, so too are fraudsters. The Federal Trade Commission says consumers reported losing nearly $82 million in crypto scams, and that's just since October. Joining me now to explain is Wall Street Journal reporter Alexander Osipovich. Hi, Alexander. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into some of the reasons for this uptick in scams, tell us more about what you heard from the FTC regarding the scope of crypto scams and how prevalent they've become.
So the amount of scams being reported to the FTC in cryptocurrencies has exploded over the past year. Basically, the numbers over the past 6 months are roughly 10 times higher than they were a year ago. These are based on self-reports by consumers to the FTC. So this is Americans who are having these issues and reporting to the authorities that they were scammed.
So at the same time, this has coincided with a huge surge in the price of Bitcoin, and that has brought in a lot of retail investors. How are scammers going after these smaller players?
Crypto has been on a tear this year. Bitcoin went up substantially, especially in the first 4 months of the year. A lot of other cryptos like Dogecoin suddenly became household names just because they were appreciating so much. They got a lot of attention. And so that brought a lot of scammers into it and also got a lot of retail investors who are worried about missing out. So they wanted to profit from this opportunity as well. The scammers often operate on social media. You'll encounter a lot of them on Twitter or Reddit. They'll set up websites. They'll encourage people to invest in their projects. And the projects, you know, might sound a little bit far-fetched to the average person, but, you know, they sound like they make sense to crypto people and they promise fantastic rates of return. People send crypto money over to those projects, and then the people running them disappear.
What are some of the other factors about cryptocurrency itself that makes this market sort of ripe for scams?
So anonymity is a big thing in cryptocurrency. The creator of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, never named him or herself or themselves, and we still don't know who that is. So it's common for there to be these anonymous teams soliciting funds for different projects in cryptocurrencies, and often that's just normal and it's the way it's done. But it also provides good cover for fraudsters. Another very important factor is that crypto transactions generally can't be reversed. With the credit card transactions, typically you can say, hey, I was charged, this was fraudulent, give it back to me. That doesn't happen in cryptocurrencies. If you send your Bitcoin or Ether to somebody else's wallet, you can't get it back.
Are there parts of the market that are particularly susceptible?
So lately, there has been a big boom in what crypto people call decentralized finance, or DeFi for short. And this is a very interesting, innovative area for different kinds of projects, and it's also turned out to be a ripe environment for fraud. DeFi, broadly speaking, involves efforts to replicate traditional finance through the blockchain, through distributed networks, and do things like lending or even insurance or trading through these decentralized networks. But the appeal for investors in these projects is that they often promise high rates of return on your crypto assets. You send them Ether or Bitcoin and they promise you a return. So there have been a number of scams in which people have launched essentially fake DeFi projects, solicited funds, and then disappeared. In crypto terminology, this is called a rug pull.
And cryptocurrency generally is still an area operating with little regulation. What role is that playing here?
So regulators have really struggled with crypto, and crypto sort of falls between the lines in terms of, is it governed by the SEC or the CFTC or the FTC or some other agency? And so it's not policed exactly. Unlike with stocks, where there is sort of decades worth of practice, and you know when there is a new offering of stock that's been vetted by the SEC, nothing like that happens in cryptocurrencies.
So what are the best tips for investors to better protect themselves?
Really, a lot of it is apply common sense and look out for the same sort of scams you would see in traditional markets. If somebody's offering you returns that seem like they might be too good to be true, they probably are. If somebody is pushing you with a great deal of urgency, saying, you know, you have to invest in this now before the window closes, that should also be a red flag.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Alexander Osipovich. Alexander, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
finally, speaking of investments, it's been a bullish year, not just for crypto. Markets have hit record highs and meme stocks have caused a frenzy. But there's a lot more to investing than following Wall Street bets on Reddit. The Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street team has a 5-week investing challenge to help both beginner and seasoned investors. Here's our Heard on the Street editor, Spencer Jacob.
One of the first challenges will ask people what kind of returns, let's say you had inherited a lump sum from an uncle or an aunt at various dates and time. We tell you what was going on, and there were times when everything was going swimmingly, the economy was really booming. There were times when things looked pretty bad. You know, there was a war or a depression around the corner. And we told you what to expect. And the lesson from that is the long run returns of stocks have always been pretty good, but they vary an awful lot. And just because things may look very good or may look very bad at the moment, it really tells you very little. It's almost the inverse. You know, when things look pretty bleak, actually have turned out to be the best times. It also, some of the exercises tell you how likely an individual stock is to be a winner. And there's a very surprising conclusion there, which is that it isn't likely at all. It just really teaches you the benefits of sticking to it and diversification rather than thinking you found the next Amazon or something.
You can sign up for the challenge for free at wsj.com/investing challenge. And for more about it, listen to our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.